Our scripture this morning comes from the Second Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. The company of the prophets said to Elijah, "Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to live." And he said, "Go." Then one of them said, "Won't you please come with your servants?" "I will," Elijah replied, and he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. "Oh, my Lord," he cried out, "it was borrowed." The man of God asked, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, Elijah cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm delighted today to introduce to you Reverend Joseph Kamal. Those of you who were here Wednesday evening had a wonderful opportunity to hear him speak to us at that time. And at that time, he shared with us about his ministry back in Kenya. Just so you know how we made the contact, Donna Holman for a while has been in contact with another pastor in Kenya and who has an orphanage there. And you know our church came together at the end of last year to help that orphanage. And then we started talking about going to Kenya to see Reverend Joseph, this other pastor, and to see that orphanage. And as we began planning that, you know, thinking about the United Methodist Church, and the wonderful thing about the United Methodist Church is it is worldwide. And so I emailed to Kenya, to that area of Kenya, to touch base with the United Methodist Church there, and came in contact with Reverend Joe. So we've been emailing for several months back and forth, and he has come over. Our United Methodist Church has general conference the first week in May, and he is one of two representatives coming from Kenya. The two representatives, along with their bishop, will travel for the general conference, which will be in Oregon. But he decided to come a month early to be in Texas and to have a chance to visit with our church. And so we are so honored to have him here. We've had a chance to hear about the orphanage that he personally started and the clinic that he started. But today he said, "You know, it's Sunday. And on Sunday, I want to share God's word." And so he's here today to speak to us from the Lord. Welcome, Reverend Joe.
Thank you. Thank you, Leverett. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm delighted to be here this morning to share the word of God with you. As Leverett said, on Wednesday I shared about the ministries, but today I want to share the word of God as the Spirit of God will lead me. Last night I talked to my family and my wife and my children. They send the greetings. Receive the greetings from Kenya. As I shared with you last week, on this Wednesday, we have a number of ministries, and one of the ministries that we have is a children home, which is an orphanage and a school. And our children at the orphanage, they make bracelets that we use for fundraising. As I told you, many of them, I mean, we don't have a constant or regular people who give us money for food, so we look from the locals. And one of the ways we raise money is through selling the bracelets. I have a few bracelets out there with my sister Doris, so if you may want to pick a piece, you can see how they look like, and you can have one as a way of buying food for the children. Those bracelets are made by the children who are aged between 8 years to 17 years. And as I was coming, the children gave me a portrait, a picture, one of art they do. And the picture is about a child This child is taking water, and it's from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 35 to 40. It says, I was thirsty, you gave me water. I was hungry, you gave me food to eat. They appreciate what God has done for them, and this gift, they give it to you, the people of United Methodist Church of Herrieta. I hope I'm saying it well. I'm learning, Herrieta. So they give it to you so that whenever you look at it, you can be praying for them and for your friendship and our friendship to continue for the glory of God. Leverett. Thank you. I'm so delighted that in the month of June, my sister Donna and Kiva, they'll be visiting Kenya, and the ministries have been sharing about, the children have been talking about, the churches, they'll have opportunity to meet them. And I'm very sure when they come back from Kenya, I know Donna is good in taking photographs. She'll be able to take so many photos, and she'll share with you on how we do, what we do in Kenya. This morning, as I was listening to the choir, God bless you so much for the good music. There's a song that you said, How Great Thou Art. I want to sing it in Swahili. Can I sing it in Swahili? Swahili is our national language. In Kenya, we have 42 tribes, and every tribe, they have their own language. Then we have Swahili as our national language, the language that brings all the community, all the people, tribes together. So we have songs that we sing, all of us, like you are from this tribe, this tribe, this tribe. They are those common songs we sing. And it's amazing that most of the songs from the hymnal books of our United Methodist Church, we have them in Swahili. So if you come to Kenya, you'll be able to read the choir there, but be prepared to speak Swahili. Hallelujah. The song they were singing, I don't know, I'm not a good musician, but I know the tune. It says, Bwana Mungu nashangaa kabisa nikitazama jinsi ulivyo nyota ngurumo na milima yote nikiona ninakusifu roho yangu na ikuimbie. Amen. Jinsi wewe ulivyo mkuu, roho yangu na ikuimbie. Jinsi wewe ulivyo mkuu. Hallelujah. This morning, we have read from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. And as I was praying to God, when I talked to Leverett about coming to minister, she gave me the opportunity. The passage that I had given her, or the sermon I wanted to preach, the Holy Spirit of God gave me a different sermon. And as ministers, it's always good to listen to the voice of God. It's not good to walk according to our knowledge, but to listen to the voice of God. So I happened to change the sermon, and it's not me. The Spirit of God changed the sermon because I believe God has a word that He wants you to hear from Kenya. And when I was reading, preparing, praying about this sermon, it reminded me of a story, and it's a true story in Kenya. A young boy who was traveling with his father. The father was a driver of a big bus. And the buses in Kenya, they carry up to even 70 people because some sit, others stand. So the bus was full and they were traveling from our city or our village to the city. Our capital city is called Nairobi. While they were traveling, the bus started moving from one side to the other side. It was almost collapsing. It was almost getting out of the road. And when the bus was moving and people were crying, people were praying, people were repenting. You know, many times when Christians are in problems, they repent. Many times when they are struggling, they remember to pray, they remember to repent. So these people, they were repenting, they were praying because they were seeing death. And the young boy who was seated in the vehicle, he was just praying. He was just laughing. He was just looking at the people, he was laughing. And people wondered, why should this boy be laughing when you're about to die? When is this boy not in pain? Why is he not praying? So, by the God's grace, after some time, the bus stopped. And there was no accident. God was able to hold the back and there was no accident. When the bus stopped, everybody looked at the boy. And they asked the young boy, why were you not praying? Probably, they could have thought he was like Jonah in the Bible. Jonah, people were asking him, why are you not praying? So the young boy, they asked him, how are you not praying when you're about to die? Everybody was in prayer. Everybody was in shock. Everybody was struggling. But the boy was comfortable seated. He was laughing. He was looking at people. And the young man looked at everybody and said, I was not worried. I was not in shock. Because I knew the driver is my father. And I know my father is able. I know my father when he's driving. When my father is seated in the steering. When the father is in control. Everything is good. That is why I was not worried. And God reminded me of the passage that we have read today. About the people who had gone to do some construction. The Bible says where they were seated or where they were, the land became small for them. And they told Elisha, let us go to another place because the land where we are seated is so congested. And Elisha said, fine, you can go. But people told Elisha, if you are to go, go with us. We will not go without you. And that's the same the children of Israel told God. When God was to deliver them from the land of from land where they were in Egypt to take them to the promised land, they told God, go with us. And God said, I'll go with you. My presence will be with you. So these people, they struggled. They told Elisha, we'll not go if you not go with us. And the Bible says, as they were going in their journey, they started working, doing the construction. And while they were doing the construction, one of the men, they asked for in the water. And when it fell in the water, he ran to Elisha. And he told Elisha, my axe has fallen in water. And it was not mine. I had borrowed it. The Bible says Elisha did a miracle. God did a miracle through Elisha. He dipped a stick and the axe floated. Those who are running, those who have done chemistry, those who have done physics, you know it is not possible for a metal to float from the water. But that shows with God, all things are possible. What is not possible with a man, it is possible with God. Amen. This morning, I want to encourage you. I want to share with you about walking with God. These men, they knew. They had a purpose. They had a destiny, and the destiny was to go and do the construction. Their purpose was to go, but they knew they cannot make it without the man of God. They said, you have to go with us. In our lives as Christians, in our journey as Christians, as we are moving in the journey of our Christian life, after you give your life to God, after you became a Christian, we are all moving in the journey to our destiny. And our destiny is to be with our Lord. Our destiny is to see God. Our destiny is to inherit the kingdom of God. And once we are in the journey, once we are walking the journey, we need to learn how to walk with God. After you give your life to God, after you are born again, after you have accepted Christ in your life, you need to learn how to walk with God. All of us, we have friends. Everybody here, you have a friend. And when you're walking with your friend,
I remember when the week I've been here, we have been spending much time with my brother Jerry. And all the time we have been sharing, we have been talking. He has been asking about Kenya. I've been telling him, I've been asking about America. And I've been enjoying being with him. And all the time that I've been with him, I've been very tentative, I've been listening to him. I've been very serious to get what he's telling me. And I knew as long as I was with Jerry, I was safe. I knew that. Because he's my friend. He's my brother. I was walking with him. Probably if I was with a stranger, I could be uncomfortable. But because I was with him, I was comfortable. This is how our lives should be. As Christians, we need to learn how to walk with God. When you walk with a friend, when you walk with your friend, you open up to your friend. When you walk with your friend, you are in peace because you know your friend is there for you. Your friend is there to comfort you. Your friend is there to walk with you. When you cry, she cries with you. When you laugh, she laughs with you. If you happen to walk and you are just about to fall, your friend will lift you up. In our life as Christians, let us walk with God. We see from the Bible, these people, if they didn't walk with Elisha, if Elisha was not in their company, what could have happened to this man? When the axe fell in the water, what could have happened? The man was troubled. The man was in struggle. But he remembered, I'm with a man of God. When we walk with God, the Bible reminds us, God will always be there for us. Walking with God means so many things. And one of the things that it says is to follow God. When you walk with God, you need to follow Him. Following God means walking, doing His will. Do what He wants. Let Him lead where He should be. Let Him talk to you. Listen to the voice of God. Listen to what He tells you. And do to His will. The other thing, the Bible says in the book of Psalms 23, we all read this, the Lord is my shepherd. You need to be shepherd. You need to be taken care by the Lord. God needs to take care of you. God needs to take care of your life. God needs to take care of your health. God needs to take care of everything that you do. But the worst thing in life, most Christians, when we give our life to God, we forget to walk with God. We look at the things surrounding us. We look at the things that makes us happy. When you walk with a friend, not every time you'll be happy. Amen? When you walk with God, not every time your friend will make you happy. Sometimes he will be, you'll do some things that will not please you. You do some things that you not be comfortable with. This is how it is walking with God. When you walk with God, there are some things that you would like to do as a human being that you must stop doing. When you walk with God, there are some pressure, there are some good things, there are some things that in our eyes as human beings, you might think they are so good for you. But because the Bible says you should not do them, it's against the word of God, you don't do them. That is walking with God. So when you walk with God, there are things that you have to stop doing them. And not because of your own, but because you are walking with God. Walking with God means to abide in Him. You have to abide in God. He has to be your partner. Walking with God means God has to be your partner. I love this. In marriage, my wife is my partner in the ministry. Today I'm here in America. I'm not worried. Because my wife is taking care of the ministry and the people have empowered. So my wife is my partner. Your wife is your partner. Your husband is your partner. And in the life of our Christian life, let God be our partner in whatever we do. Let us involve God. Let us seek the will of God. Let hear from God. Let inquire from God. Let listen from God. Everything that you have to do, let listen to God. And that is means walking with Him. He is your partner. He is part of you. You walk with Him. You listen to Him. So we need to learn to involve God in whatever we do. Be it in your business. Let God be your partner. If it's a business you are doing, when I was a student, we used to learn about partnership and sole business. A partner is always faithful to the other partner. And when you are not faithful to the other partner, if you are doing a business, the business break. If it's in a marriage, the marriage break. If it's in a community, the community will break. When you are faithful to God, your relationship, your business, your affairs will always be strong. Let God be your partner in everything that you do. And then, let trust God. Walking with your friends, not every friend that you can be open to. Is it true, church? Not everybody you can be open to. There are people you can tell your secrets. There are people you can share even your deepest secrets, because they are your friends. When you walk with God, when you involve God in your ministry, when you involve God in your family, when God becomes a pillar in your family, all your secrets, all your needs, all your desire, all your struggle, all your pain, all of what you go through, God will be part of it. Even sickness, the Bible says he's Jehovah Rapha. He'll be able to heal you. He's a provider. He takes care of us. When you become close to God, you let God be part of you. You walk with him. Even in the deepest pain, God will never change. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changed. Men and women can change. People can change. Governments can change. Politicians can change. But God will never change. Let's walk with him. When you walk with God, you always be in peace. We need peace. Christ, Jesus Christ, as he was leaving his disciples, he said, "Peace I leave into you." If you want peace, if you don't have peace, the secret is walking with God. The Israelites walked with God. And while they were walking with God, in the midst of their struggle, in the midst of their pain, in the midst of being followed by the Pharaoh, when they were about to get to the Red Sea, because they are walking with God, when the enemy came, God was able to make a way where there's no way. When you walk with God, he'll make a way where there's no way. He'll open doors that no one can open. And he'll shut the doors that the devil that opens in our life. Let's learn to walk with God. Let God be our best friend. Let God be our best companion. Everything that we do, let's learn to involve God. Walking with God means surrendering ourselves to him. The song says, "All to Jesus I surrender." Let's learn to surrender ourselves to God. When you surrender yourself to God, it means you rely on him. You let him control you. You let him minister in you. You let him direct you. You let him talk to you. Surrender your life to God. Men, surrender your families to God. Women, surrender your families to God. He'll take care of them. When you surrender yourself to God, God becomes the head of the house. If you come to Kenya, most of the homes, they write, "The Lord, God is the head of this home. God is the head of this home. Let God be our head. Let's walk with him." We have to surrender ourselves. And we should learn how to surrender ourselves to God. And lastly, if walking with God means you must understand him. There's no way you can walk with someone you don't understand. There's no way you can be a friend of someone you don't understand. You'll always be in conflict. You'll always be fighting. You'll always be arguing. You'll always be in struggle. But once you understand your friend, once you understand God, you'll always be happy. How do you understand God?
You only understand God through reading the Word of God. We have the Bibles. And thank God here in America you are blessed. Even in your phones, in your computers, you can read the Bible. Let's read the Bibles. That's the only way you can understand God. That's the only way you can understand the will of God. I don't know how many times we have time for the Word of God. I don't know how many times we read the Word of God. I don't know how many times we read the Bible. God knows. Many times we are busy watching TVs. We have schedules to watch football. In Kenya, people have time to go and watch soccer. We have time for this. Do you have time for God? How many times do you have quiet time? How many times do you have time to share to study the Word of God? How many times do you have time to listen to God? We have time to listen to our friends. We have time to listen to our spouses. We have time to listen to our parents. We have time to listen to our politicians. We have time to listen to our government officials. How many times do we have to listen to the voice of God, who is our friend? Brothers and sisters, the journey of life is not easy, whether you're in America or you're in Kenya. In Kenya, the hardest thing of the journey of life is poverty. Many times, you get people backsliding from the church because of poverty. Devil would give them different excuses of how they can get rich, how they can get food, how they can be blessed, and how they can come out of poverty. That's the biggest problem. Here in America, the journey of life may be difficult because of the blessings God has given you. Because of what God has given you. But once you realize, whether you're in Kenya, you're in America, whether you are rich or you are poor, whether you have or you don't have, God never changes. God is the same. We need to appreciate what God has done in our lives. We need to appreciate that we need always to walk with God. When we have, when we don't have, when you are blessed, when you are struggling, when you are in tears, when you are laughing, when in a journey, let's learn to walk with God. Friends, God never changes. The best companion is God. The young man, he said, I'm not worried because my father is the driver. When God is the driver in your life, when God directs your life, when God is ministering you, when God is reading you, when God is the minister in your life, you never be worried because you put your eyes to God. David said, I put my eyes to God. Where my help come from? Where do you put your eyes? Where is your hope? Where do you put your eyes? Where do you look at? When you are struggling, where does your help come from? I know we can go to Google, we can go to friends, but our help, let it come from God, because we have learned to walk with God. Let's stand up, we pray. Let's stand up, church. Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you for the word that you have given us today, that in our journey as Christians, Father, we need to learn how to walk with you. Many times, the things of the world distract us from putting our eyes to you and walking with you. But today, you have reminded us that in everything, every time, and every situation, you are the same God. Father, you don't change. You are the same God who was there during the time of Abraham, time of Isaac, time of Christ, when he was struggling, and you are still God today. Lord, I pray for this church. I pray for the pastor. I pray for the leadership of this church. I pray for every member of this church that may your spirit, may your power, may your grace, may your anointing be upon them, O God. And every journey of their lives, let them walk with you. Let them trust you. Let them put their hope in you.
and then let them look at you. As we continue fellowshipping together and increasing and the partnership growing, all the honor and the glory be to you. We pray this believing and trusting in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's get seated. Thank you so much. God bless you so much. I'm happy being here.
This past week, we've had a chance to visit with Reverend Joe and him to have a chance to visit with different groups. Our wonderful music director loves to sing, but she does not like to speak. But she is willing to come forward today. And on Friday, Reverend Joe went to her sixth grade classes. And so she just wanted to just share something very small, very small.
I believe there are 5 sixth graders here today. If you're in sixth grade at Henrietta Junior High, raise your hand. Okay, these kids had an opportunity to find out about life in Kenya in a way they will never, ever learn out of a book. In a 48-minute class, we had a science lesson about the equator and the magnetic field there. We learned how to speak Swahili. We had a math lesson when we converted U.S. dollars into Kenyan shillings. We had a wildlife lesson, a lot of wildlife lesson. There were a lot of wildlife questions asked. And then we had a general social studies lesson. And I felt like the day was going very well. I had even talked to Kiva the day before. And I said, just please pray that the kids act like you want them to act when you have a guest speaker. You know, they're representing not only our school, our town, our nation. You know, please let them have them act the way they need to. And you parents, your kids are great. We have wonderful students at Henrietta Junior High, and I was very proud of all of the kids. But there was a lesson taught that I wasn't expecting with sixth grade students. They found out and they understood how very blessed they are and how very much they have been given. Almost every student in the sixth grade has their own cell phone. They all have multiple pairs of shoes. As they sat and listened, at the end of one class, a couple boys came up to shake Joe's hand and thank him for being there. And they pulled out a dollar bill, each boy did, and set it on my desk and said, this is for him to take home. That's 100 shillings. I was moved by that. I thought that was pretty big of those boys. And then a third boy walked up, and he reached in his pocket, and he went like this and just dumped out 32 cents. This is what he had. It was the widow's mite. He got how much he has. He got that his needs are going to be met when he goes back home today. And so they left money for Joe to send back. Of course, Joe told me, no, I can't give it to Pastor Kiva, and we did, and I've given it to her right away. I came straight from school and gave that to her. The last class of the day is not a sixth grade class. It's a seventh and eighth grade class that I have, and we sat around a table and talked with Joe about politics and voting and machinery and missionaries and all of those things. And at the end, the bell rang and the kids scurried out to get home. And a boy came back and said, wait a minute, Joe, they need to learn this. And he held up his Nike football and he handed it to Joe. And so, and we know in Henrietta, Texas, that's a big deal. To give up your football is pretty big. And so he wanted Joe to go back and teach them soccer is good, but there is football. And so I was so proud of the kids that we have here. And as Joe and I were driving back to Jerry and Doris's house, Joe made the comment to me, when you talk to adults, so often they say, God bless you in your ministry. When you talk to children, they say, how can I help? Here's the money. Here's a football. And I just want you to know how proud I am to teach your children. Because we have wonderful children here, and our children realize, they get it, that they're blessed. Thank you.
I was so touched when Jennifer shared that with me on Friday, and it was just kind of amazing hearing that story and those kids. Church, we are the host church for Joe coming over here. And if you were there on Wednesday night, one of the things he shared is that there's an orphanage that he started and that, you know, the church is supporting over there, but they have 420 kids, and it's pretty tough making ends meet and everything else. Right now, their dormitory is so small, the government's about to close the orphanage if by the end of June they don't have a larger dormitory built. It only costs $40,000 to build it. But we can be a part of that. You know, it may be just a small part or it may be a bigger part, but I think we can give more. When the ushers came forward a few minutes ago, I don't normally take two offerings. In fact, I've only done it one other time in a church, and that was a church that I had no idea that they were going to send the offering plates back up because they counted the money. They said there's not enough here, and they sent the offering plates back up in the middle of the sermon and said, when you get through talking, be sure and take another offering. And I was a guest preacher, so I did. I'm not a guest preacher here, but this is our church. And so I'm going to ask us to take another offering. And if you feel God moving in your heart that you would like to give, we're actually setting up through our church where anyone in the United States can give through our church, and then we'll transfer it over to Kenya to support the orphanage over there. So if you want to give, give through FUMC. But I'm going to ask our ushers, to come back up. And I sent plates back with them a few minutes ago. And so if you'll come back up, and I'd like for us to just prayerfully consider giving something. It's more than just saying God bless you. It's putting feet on those that blessing. So let's pray. God, we do come before you. We know that you are in America and you're in Kenya and you've blessed us over here, but we have a chance to bless others. And so Lord, we take this time now. And if it's right, then I pray that you put it on hearts to do it. And you'll help us make wise decisions so that we can support Reverend Joe, so that we can support those churches there, that orphanage, that clinic, those children, that community, as we share together in our love for you and our love for them. All to your glory, Lord. All to your glory. Amen.